Workers for delivery giant United Parcel Service are in the midst of bargaining a national contract. The leadership of the Teamsters Union has vowed to call a national strike if the company doesn't agree to a new contract that substantially improves the wages and working conditions of the 350,000 Teamster members who work for UPS. This is a huge change from 5 years ago. Then, the Teamsters Union leadership forced UPS workers to accept a terrible deal. That betrayal sparked a rebellion in the union, and that rebellion led to the election of a new leadership who promised that they would take on UPS. Teamsters for a Democratic Union, a militant rank-and-file organizing project inside the Teamsters Union, played a big role in those changes, and they are working hard to organize Teamsters for this fight. The UPS contract expires July 31st. The company is dragging its feet, and across the country, UPS workers are getting ready to strike. I'm so glad to have with me today two UPS workers, both Teamster activists here in Portland, Keir Anderson and Dom Belcastro. Dom and Keir, welcome to KBOO.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Let's start with your jobs at UPS and what you and other UPS workers are looking to win in this contract.
I work at an airport hub, and so those are kind of much different conditions than the other hubs in the area. We are governed by something called Article 40 in the contract, and essentially what that means is we are the only hubs that do not get a daily guarantee of hours. And this is allegedly because, you know, we don't get the same amount of volume that is constantly coming in and out. As such, when my weekly shifts, on a good week, I work 15 hours. And so that's, you know, that's not great. That's not something to live on. Something that Sean O'Brien says repeatedly is that part-time America doesn't work. And I absolutely feel that at my job.
Yeah. So I'm a part-timer. I load up the semi-trailers that go across the country, hub to hub. So currently, I'm on lost time workers' comp because our job is backbreaking labor, and I hurt my back. Mm-hmm. So I'm a safety committee member on my shift. And one thing that's near and dear to me, too, is our safety committee and making it as autonomous and useful to my coworkers as possible, because injuries, they're serious. They can affect you for the rest of your life and affect your ability to make money. And I'm facing that down right now. Now, I'm recovering, so don't worry too much about me, but there's lots of people that have much worse injuries occur. So one thing, especially on my mind, is we're about to get near 100-degree weather next week, and I'm thinking about all my coworkers who are going to be sweating bullets. So working conditions, I really want us to fight for language that just protects our bodies as much as it protects our jobs.
Okay, well, I think that the issue of backbreaking labor is something that you share in part anyway with the drivers. What are some of the issues mm-hmm. that are most concerning to the drivers?
So the opposite problem that Keir has, drivers have too many hours.
Right.
They're kept out for 10, 12, sometimes 14-hour days, and they want that to change. Obviously, that is a big part of your life if you're working every day 12-hour shifts.
I think another thing that is related to what the drivers are experiencing right now, as well as many part-timers who do not work where I work, is forced six-day punches. And that is something that is absolutely going to be strike-worthy if not addressed, because they can just demand that people come in for a sixth day. And that is unacceptable because drivers in particular are so overworked. And, you know, part-timers, when we're there, you know, as Dom said, it's backbreaking labor. We deserve to be able to rest, to be able to, you know, see our friends and our families. You know, this job, particularly if you are full-time already, can grind you up. So that's another issue that is affecting quite a few people. And we're hoping to get addressed in this next contract.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's also very ironic about this is that on the one hand, they are forcing full-time drivers to work extra days paying them time and a half, but not giving them the opportunity. They don't have the right to refuse that work. And on the other hand, they have all these part-timers who can't get enough work. Given that it looks like the company has dug in its heels, and your president, Sean O'Brien, promised when he was elected that he was not going to bargain a crummy contract. Let's talk a little bit about how you, the union, is getting ready to strike nationally, and what are you doing here?
Yeah, so I can take the lead on that, and then Dom can hop in with anything that I may have missed. But one of the first things we did rather early on was contract pledges, which is we would go to the hubs and at our union meetings, they would supply these pledge cards where it was basically saying, if we don't get a good and fair contract, you know, we're going to be walking out. And it was a way to demonstrate to the company that we're unified in this. So that was something that I believe came down from national that we then did on a local level. A few of us went to the various hubs to catch people coming in and out of their shifts to get them to sign this contract pledge. Other things that the union has been doing, we have been having ongoing Zoom calls where they update us to a certain extent. As Dom mentioned, we have not seen any actual language, but they have been informing us of, like, you know, whether or not they're making headway. Something that they've been telling us is, you know, the non-economic proposals have already been settled. And Sean O'Brien says they were settled with no concessions on our ends. A big one was, we have got confirmed in the tentative agreement that AC is going to be put in all of the trucks and package cars and everything. And that was going to be a strike issue, let me tell you, because, you know, we're just getting all sorts of heat waves. You know, we had one of our union siblings, you know, die, I believe, in Phoenix, right? So that was a pretty substantial win. Something that has just recently been rolling out as we're getting closer and closer to contract expiration is practice pickets, where, like, you know, that. I actually just went to one with Dom the other day. And honestly, it was a lot of fun. They, you know, showed us how to, you know, do chants and whatever. And we marched back and forth saying, who are we? Teamsters. And when Teamsters fight, Teamsters win. It was a lot of fun. So doing stuff like that to kind of get everyone's spirits up, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say that we got a pretty good turnout for something that was only a practice picket, right? Like, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to come out until it's the real deal, but they're already seeing that there is a dedicated cadre of, like, union members that are already out there, and we're bringing others in, right? And that is something that scares and intimidates the company. So I thought that was a lot of fun, and yeah.
One big thing that's new, you know, going from Hoffa to O'Brien, O'Brien is embracing community support, other unions support in this contract fight. So at our last practice picket, we were encouraged to invite supportive community members and other union members to join our practice picket. And we've begun to build a coalition that includes Teamsters for Democratic Union. They've been part of the coalition for a while, but some new members, Jobs with Justice, and then Democratic Socialist America, our Portland chapter, had some members come into our practice ticket, as well as J with J members.
This is Johanna Brenner for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm here talking with Dom Balcasto and Keir Anderson, two UPS workers. We're discussing the upcoming potential strike by UPS workers at the end of July, beginning of August, if they don't get a decent contract from UPS. Let me just talk briefly about how this strike, or this struggle actually, is important for organizing unorganized companies in the logistics industry, particularly FedEx and Amazon. They're non-union. I think it's important that this contract get people something that they couldn't have at those other companies. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's absolutely true. You know, a good union contract can set industry standards. And right now, you know, it's either Amazon's going to set those standards or we are, right? And if we do, if we set the standard, then one, that means A, Amazon is going to have to do something to be competitive to like laborers like us, right? And also it shows what a union can do. Like, you know, if you're a Amazon warehouse worker and, you know, you're making your $15 an hour in your terrible conditions where your employment is hinged on making whatever manager happy in that very moment, you know, like that is a very demoralizing place to be. And then you see the union contract that was negotiated by the Teamsters and how good it is, how we have this pension, how we have this amazing healthcare, how we have like all sorts of protections for our employment. That might, you know, light a fire under their butts, so to speak, right? So I think this is very important, very important. And I think a good union contract will make a lot of inroads in organizing those unorganized work sites.
So tell me, what are some of the ways that you mentioned people can come to practice pickets, but I think there's also a community in Jobs with Justice is organizing support. I think you've also organized some sort of community website where people can learn about the strike and pledge support.
Yeah, so Kier and I are both members of Democratic Socialists of America, and the Portland chapter, we've put together a strike solidarity pledge. Sorry, it's a national pledge, but we have an Oregon specific coalition that we've put together. And then what we've been asking people who support us and are excited by this potential nationwide strike is to ask your union to make statements of support for UPS Teamsters. We were out on the picket line with nurses recently that went on strike, and they really were excited to see UPS Teamsters. So if you're in a union, you support this struggle, you know, you have the same struggle, even if you're not in a warehouse, talk to your union rep, your president, if you have their number, and ask them to make a pledge of solidarity with us.
Okay. I'm going to just let people know the URL. It's actionnetwork.org/forms/strike-ready-pledge. But if you put in strike ready pledge, PSA, you'll get there too. So please, everyone, check that out. Check out the Jobs with Justice website. Find out how you can get ready to be in the streets, back up UPS workers as they take on one of the gigantic companies in this country. I want to thank both of you, Dom Belcasto and Kier Anderson, UPS workers and strike organizers, for coming onto the Old Mole today. And of course, we're going to be backing you all the way. And is there something that you guys would like to add, like the conditions of work, the overtime, any of those things?
Yeah, I actually do have something I want to add in there. Yeah. So, you know, we talked earlier about wages and why it's so important to have a strong baseline wage. And what UPS has proposed that caused Sean O'Brien just to walk away from the table was a starting wage of $17 an hour that tops out at 21. So right now, what I am currently making, and this is going to be relevant in just a second, is I am currently making this year $24 an hour. However, last year after peak, they were able to push us down to $15 an hour and then give us a $120 attendance bonus if we made all of our shifts. And so it is very important to me that we have a strong baseline wage, something that at least matches or is higher than what I am currently making. Because let me tell you, people have health problems, right? They get sick. And if we're just like, because they can just do that at will, as long as it meets the minimum of the contract, right? And so like, if you get sick, you're just kind of screwed for that week of pay. You know, that happened to me. I would go from, you know, getting like a $200 check to a $78 check if I missed one day of work. So that is very important to me, having that high baseline wage, because it ensures that they can't pull that type of stuff. So that is just another one of the wage and working conditions and the kind of whims that UPS can pull with us if we don't have strong baseline wages.
So
well, thank you. Yeah, John, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to comment on that. And there's been basically a war on part-time workers by UPS in collaboration with Teamster leadership until recently, since 1982. Back then, everyone before that contract, before the 1982 contract, everybody made the same starting wage, $12 an hour, which adjust for inflation, somewhere around 25, 26. Not a bad wage. The 82 contract put in a $4 wage cut for part-time workers. They went from 12 down to $8 an hour. So that was a huge attack on part-time. And we basically haven't made up that ground in the past 40 years. And this would be the first time that we would get a chance to at least have a wage comparable to what the standard was before. So also, we have a five-year contract. And a big issue with that is inflation can go crazy in 5 years, as it has since 2018. And part of the issue with our contract is part-timers did not get a COLA at all. There's no language for cost of living increases.
Wow.
Full-timers do have one, but it's inadequate. Mm-hmm. And it's given out in a way that's unfair. It affects people differently. So there's a lot of issues with our just like pay increase rates. But what Kira's talking about is our contract starting weight is so low right now because of this five-year contract, no COLAs for part-timers. And a lot of people do make the $15.50 starting rate. But people like us in Portland, I started at $26 an hour in 2021, which I think they should pay us again. They proved they could pay it, and they made a lot of profits while they were paying part-timers $26 an hour.
That's right.
Just going back to this petition, that's why we're calling for a universal high starting wage of $25 an hour across the board, whether you're part-time or full-timer. One issue that we run into talking to full-timers is they get a pay cut when they go from part-time to full-time because of our market rate adjustment wage and the way that they can apply it how they want because we don't have language protecting us. So that's a big strike issue too, is getting a fair market rate adjustment language. But ultimately, if we win everything we want, we won't need an MRA. We'll just have a good enough wage that they won't have to tweak things when inflation gets crazy.
Yeah. So again, it's interesting that having solidarity between full-timers and part-timers is going to be a key organizing point of the strike, right? To make sure that everybody's out for everybody because we're facing different issues, really. I mean, some of them are the same and some are not. And I think that building solidarity across those divisions, it sounds like is something that you've thought about and hopefully we'll be able to accomplish.
We do it right.
Okay. Well, thanks again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Great. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Good luck with all your work.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.